Father, we just thank you for this gathering of the body of Christ. Lord, those that may be watching online, I thank you for them. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to the hearts of the people. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of the people. God, I've prepared myself. I am open and available to you to be used. And God, I thank you for giving the people hearts and minds to receive and to be obedient. And I thank you for this, Lord. Now have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll get to my notes here in just a moment. But the Word of God talks about sin, and it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, which is Jesus. Every human being does. That's a reality. And every human being needs salvation. Every human being needs to be born again. Every human being needs to ask Jesus to be their Lord. And when that happens, bang, you're born again. You're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. But if we don't do that, there is a destiny and a destination. And the book of Revelation, chapter 20, talks about this. The last five verses of the chapter, verses 11 through 20, and it's not a good scene. It's not a good thing. God opens up the book and the book of life. And if a person's name is not in there, then they are not allowed into heaven. But not only are they not allowed into heaven, they will be cast into the lake of fire. I mentioned that was Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. In the previous verse, in verse 10, it talks about him dealing with the devil. And the devil is cast into the lake of fire. So he deals with the devil, and then those who have not received Jesus will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, that lake of fire was not created for man, but it is man's destiny if they do not receive Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, he actually mentions this very event where there is a separation of the righteous and the unrighteous, and those who are on his left-hand side, he says, you know, that they're going to go into hell. They're going to go into the lake of fire, and he actually says it there in this manner, Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not create hell for us, but that's the destiny and the destination of those who do not receive Jesus as their Lord. Now, having said that, I'm going to be talking to the body of Christ today, but I want you to understand there is a destiny, and that destiny, if we do not receive Jesus, is not good, and it is not a long time. It is not a really long time. It is not eons. It is eternity that we're talking about. And as a result of it being eternity, you do not want eternity in hell. We can't even imagine how bad it is. You know, I can describe pain to you, but you can't really experience my pain. But everyone will experience pain in every part of their being, spirit, soul, and body. And they will know that they did not receive Jesus and they had a chance. It talks about in the book of Romans, they are without excuse. In other words, God has spoken and everybody has the opportunity. God has left testimony even in creation itself. Not enough for them to get born again, but enough for them to want to know Him. And if they want to know Him, He will make a way for them to know Him. So anyway, having said that, I'm going to be talking to the body of Christ today. Let's go over to the book of John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. It says here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." And this is Jesus speaking. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." The old King James says, "It is expedient that I go away." It is to your advantage that I go away. "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Comforter, the Standby, the Holy Spirit. He says he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He said it is better that he would depart so that the Holy Spirit would come. Now, it was better in a couple of different ways. He was going to provide salvation for us. He was going to die in our place. But also, he was going to make it possible for us to hear from God on the inside, not having to have something on the outside. And in the body of Christ, we are not to be looking for external manifestations to tell us the will of God. We are to listen to God. He will talk to us on the inside. So it is expedient, or it is to your advantage that I go away. If I don't, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, will not come. But if I depart, and He did depart, I will send Him unto you, and He did. And He dwells within us. He is the Holy Spirit, the Helper. He is the inside us God. The Holy Spirit is the inside us God. He's the inside us God. He's the one who dwells in us. We have such a misconception about the Holy Ghost, about the Holy Spirit. We get into the words ghost or spirit, and we get into weirdo theology. He is the third person of the Trinity, and He dwells within us. He dwells within us. He is the God who dwells on the inside of us. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11 verses 19 and 20. He spoke what He was going to do. And He says here, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." He's saying, I'm going to take out of you a heart of stone, a hard heart, and I'm going to give you a soft heart. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, that and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. When the Holy Spirit came, we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we were empowered by God like never before to obey. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have a power source which is beyond your imagining, and He will enable you to obey God. If you're a born-again believer, you can obey God. You can do it. I said, you can do it. Then let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. He also talks about the same thing. This is the prophetic utterances of what have taken place in the New Testament. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be, and you will keep my judgments and do them." So He says, I will put my spirit in you, and I will empower you to obey. The Holy Spirit is an empowering one on the inside of us. He is the inside us God. He is God, the one who created everything, and He dwells in us. He dwells in us. There is no power shortage. There's no power shortage. And then let's look at it in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then one more verse along this line in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. He says here, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He dwells in you. He is the inside of us God, the Holy Spirit. And He is the Almighty God. He's the Almighty God. I could walk you through verses that talk about Him being Almighty. And you know what Almighty means? Almighty. It means He is all-powerful. There are three omni statements about God. Omnipotent, omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Omniscient, which means all-knowing. And omnipresent, which means everywhere all the time. So, God is here, God is all-powerful, and God is all-knowing. And God dwells in us in the way that He empowers us, He guides us, He directs us. He is God on the inside. But He is God on the inside, and He is the Almighty God. There is a power within you that you do not know of. You may have experienced to some degree, but I'm telling you, He is more powerful than you can even imagine. We look and in the Bible, and we could begin in Genesis 1, and we can go all the way through the last chapter of Revelation, and you can see the Almighty God. In Genesis 1, He says, in the beginning, God created everything. And He did it by just simply speaking. I can show that to you over and over and over again. And this is the God who chose to dwell within you. He is the God who tells us what He's going to do before it happens so that you can know He is God. And in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, He actually says, I'm going to show you things before they happen. I'm going to show you things before they happen. He says, he tells about what He's going to do. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, He talks about this, and He says, I'm going to be put to death, and I'm going to rise from the dead. He tells them that in advance. He says, I'm going to do this. He told them in John chapter 2, if you will tear this body down, if you will tear this temple down, He's talking about His body, in 3 days I'll raise it up. What He's saying is, I'm going to die, and I'm going to come out of the grave, and there's nothing you can do about it. He is the Almighty God who tells us things before they happen. He tells us what's going to happen, and He tells us this is going to come to pass, and there isn't anything you can do to stop it. Now, in your life, there are things that you can do that will hinder God from working in your life, but I'm telling you, nobody was going to stop Jesus from coming back from the dead. Absolutely nobody. And the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Him from the dead. So, God is the one who tells us what He's going to do before He does it. And He is the power source beyond all power sources. He said, I'm going to die and I'm going to raise again. And then in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 4, it says, while they were perplexed about this, these are the women that went to the grave. They were going to deal with the body of Jesus. They took spices and things. By the way, it's real interesting that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had already taken spices and had done something. Apparently, the women thought the men can't do this right. So they brought spices back to do it again later. And when they came back later is where we're at right here. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. This is angels. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He has risen. Remember how He told you. Remember, He tells you what He's going to do before He does it. How He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. He told them that, and now the angels are declaring, He did it! He did it! He did it! And this is the same God that dwells in you. This is the same God that dwells in you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies, or will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, there is a power source beyond all power sources. And this power source declared to all of creation, I'm going to die, I'm going to be put to death, I'm giving myself up to die, but I am going to come back on the third day. Just watch and see. So He declared this. Now, when He declared this, do you think the enemy didn't understand that? He made it pretty clear. I'm coming back from the dead. So, when He died, Jesus displayed the power above all power when He came out of the grave. At creation, there was no opposition. When God created everything, there was no opposition. But in rising from the dead, all of hell was trying to stop it from happening. And He came out of the grave, and there was nothing that the enemy could do about it. He had declared, I'm going to do it. He did it. And the power source beyond all power sources raised Jesus from the dead when all of hell was trying to stop it from happening. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. In other words, the power of God the power of life, the power of light, the power of God overcame the power of the devil, of the power of darkness, and the power of death. There was no comparison. Now remember, this is the God who is in you. This is the inside of us God who I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, is talking about Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh my, the very power of God is the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in us as believers. He dwells in us as believers. He dwells in us as believers. He took the keys of death and hell. It tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 1. He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. He just took them away. He took them away. And then he did something else. He started a parade. And this parade, he walked through hell, and he walked through for all of creation to on display. He walked around as the victor, and he paraded behind him the defeated. That is proclaimed as such in the book of Colossians chapter 2. It says he did this very thing. So there is no reason for you to be afraid of the devil. There is no reason for you to be afraid of the devil. He has and has brought into our lives power to save us from sin, power to deliver us from anything, power to give us wisdom, power to give us joy, power to heal us, power to provide for us, power to overcome. That's the power of God. And this is the inside of us God. He's the one who dwells in you and me if you're a believer. He dwells in you and me if you're a believer. He dwells in me. He is the Holy Spirit, the helper, the inside of us, God. He is the helper, the inside of us, God. He is the power of God. But he is also not only the power of God, not only is he powerful, he's the almighty God that dwells in us, but he is also the intimate God who dwells in us. He's the intimate God. He's dwelling in you, and he's intimate. He's loving, and he is a God of involved care for and with you. He is involved in your life more than you know. He guides you in ways that you don't even recognize. And he is good. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. He's the intimate God that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. He is the intimate God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He lets us know when we are born again, that we are born again, that we are right with God, that we are children of God. But then, and I love this verse, it says he communicates with us spirit to spirit. It is the most intimate thing that there is. God who sees everything, who knows everything, and communicates with you on the inside. God spoke of that way back in the book of Jeremiah. When he talked about he was going to bring into existence a new covenant, and he said, I'm going to lead you internally, not externally. That's in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. So he was going to lead them internally. He is the intimate God, the one who loves us and is involved in our care for us and care with us. He wants to bless others through us. Now, he is also the God who is the teacher. He is the almighty God. He is the intimate God. And he is the teacher God. He dwells within you and me. Now, this is massive because I want you to grasp something. Whatever God has provided for you, it's wrapped up in a package. The package is called grace. And that package must be accessed one way, and that one way is by faith. So whatever God has for you, you unlock and you access by faith. So I want you to grasp this reality. You cannot exercise faith beyond your actual knowledge of God's word, which is, or of God's will, which is God's word. So you can't exercise faith to access what God has provided for you without revelation knowledge. And that comes from the teacher who is on the inside of us. He's going to bring us revelation of the Bible, but he is the teacher. He is God the teacher. And in this revelation that he's going to give us, it brings us the possibility of all of the provision of God. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I said unto you. He'll bring back to your remembrance the word that you've heard. The word that you've heard, he'll bring back, and he'll teach you all things. And the importance of him teaching you all things is you cannot exercise faith beyond your actual knowledge of what God's will is for you, and that comes through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You can't access what God has for you any other way than by faith, and that means that you must know what is yours. If God has not provided it for you, then you can't access it by faith. But you can't access what he has provided for you any other way than by faith. Faith unlocks the door, opens the door, and accesses what God has provided. So, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the Word of God. Again, God's provision is accessed by faith and you can't exercise faith beyond your actual knowledge of God's Word or his will. This is the necessity of this aspect of the Holy Spirit. Now then, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look at a couple verses here, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So, you can't even understand what God has provided for you, what he has prepared for you. And it's more than just the provision of stuff. It is the plan of God. Those things which God has prepared for those that love him. He has a plan for every human being. The first part of that plan is to be born again. That is his plan for every human being. It's not God's will that even one person perish, but that all would come to salvation. All would come to repentance and salvation through Jesus. That's God's design. It's not his will that any perish, but some refuse that. But every human being, he has a plan. It begins with salvation. We can reject that. When we reject that, we're probably not going to walk in the rest of his plan. But many in the body of Christ, we still have we have salvation, but we're not walking in the plan of God because we've not gone to the Holy Spirit and had him reveal those steps that he has laid out for us. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of God, of man, those things which God has prepared for those that love him, but he's revealed them to us, how? By his Spirit. So the Holy Ghost lays out the plan of God for your life. It tells me in Ephesians chapter 2 that God has steps laid out for you to walk. That is the plan of God. But that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. But If you are born again, I'm telling you, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He's doing His job. He's leading. He's guiding. He's bringing you revelation. And oftentimes, you don't even recognize it, but you begin to start down this pathway and you'll make a turn. And that is because the Holy Spirit is leading you in that direction. He leads us almost unconscious. It really is unconsciously, oftentimes. But then there are other times where He will make it so plain, do not go that way or do go this way. But He will show you even things to come. He will give you revelation of things that are on the way so that you can avoid them, and other things so that you can embrace them. He will give you revelation of things coming so that you can prepare, and other things that you can avoid, and some things so that you can stop them. God's given authority to the body of Christ. Now that messes with people's theology. God is the only one with authority. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He did say that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. But then He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When He said, go ye therefore, He said, the authority that I have, I'm giving to you. Now go and exercise authority in the manner that I did while I was on the earth. You do now. So, that comes down to listening to the Holy Ghost. So He's going to reveal to us those things which God has prepared for us. And let's go then into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And my message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. You've got to know the Holy Spirit. You've got to know the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, He's in you, and you do know Him, but you need to get to know Him better. You need to learn to walk with Him. Go into the Word of God and learn what God is all about. You cannot get in the Word of God and not come into contact with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible, because all Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, the Spirit is in the Word. And you get into the Word, and you're going to begin to interact with the Holy Spirit. And He will bring you revelation of things, and you pray the Word. You pray, Father, I pray that You would give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, that I may know You more. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of Your calling, what Your plan is for my life. I pray that You would fill me up with the knowledge of Your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to the intent that I may walk worthy of You unto all pleasing, being fruitful for You in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of You more and more, being strengthened in the patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Oh God, fill me up. Oh God, direct me. Oh God, use me in power. For the power source beyond all power sources is within me. He's teaching me every day, and He is the intimate God who is guiding me. Now use me. What Paul said is, I operate by the power of the Spirit of God, so that your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's talking about you interacting with the power of God. You interacting with the power of God. And it tells us that our thinking needs to be changed, that we would think higher. And as high as you can think, as great as you can think, your thinking is still very limited. And God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according to the power that works in us. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn to that. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin wrapping it up. Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according to the power that works in you, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He said, now unto you that is able Now, unto him, rather, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even think or ask. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or ask. How is he going to do it? By the power of God that dwells in you. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's going to bring things to pass by the Spirit of God. That power of God dwells in you. Doesn't mean that I am the power of God. It means that the power of God dwells in me. And he can bring things to pass, but you need to realize he is the powerful God. He is the intimate God. And he is the teacher God. And he wants to guide you today. He wants to lead you today. He wants to take you places you've never been today. And he wants to operate through you. You learn to walk with him. Get in the Word. He's going to guide you. As you do, then in everyday life, he's going to begin speaking to you. He's going to say, speak this to them. He's going to say, go lay hands on them. He's going to say, do this for them. He's going to say, give this to them. He's going to reveal things to you. He's not going to show you everything. There are times where he'll have you give finances to somebody that it looks like they don't need finances. Has nothing to do with them needing finances. It has everything to do with being obedient unto God. It was a story of a man who went to eat, and this guy drove up in a very, very expensive car, like a Mercedes, BMW, something, very expensive car, walked in, had on a very, very expensive suit and shoes. I've seen men that wear $5,000 suits. He was wearing something like that, $1,000 shoes. Sat down to have a bite to eat, and God spoke to this man, this other man, and said, you go give him a $20 bill. He thought, God, this man just drove up in a car that's more expensive than my house. I'm not giving him a $20 bill. It'd be an insult. And so he just went about his meal, and God said, you go give him a $20 bill. God, he doesn't need it. He's got a $5,000 suit on, shoes that cost more than I make in 2 weeks. God said, you go give him a $20 bill. And he fought with it. And finally, he walked up to the man and said, I need to give you this. I'm supposed to give you this. God said to give you this $20 bill. And the man broke down and began to weep. And he said, I was just telling God, if you're really real, I don't need it, but have somebody give me a $20 bill to prove that you're real. And God showed himself to that man. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and test God. That's not it at all. This guy knew nothing about God. Being obedient is the important thing, and that has to do with knowing the one who is inside of you, knowing the Almighty God. He dwells in you. Knowing the all-knowing God, knowing the intimate God. He knows everything about you and everything about everybody. And knowing the teacher, God. He will reveal to you things so that you can access his provision, so that you can access his plan. And I'm going to say this about his plan. There's nothing like it. No plan that you can ever imagine will come close to comparing to the plan that God has for you. There's nothing even close. So, he is God on the inside. He is the inside of us God. And he is worthy of our attention. Don't just shove those things aside when God speaks. I've done it. I've done it many times in my life. There have been things that I regret and still absolutely regret that I didn't do that God wanted me to. I hope that he got it done through somebody else. But he gave me the opportunity to speak to people. He gave me the opportunity to do things. I've grown up a little bit. And I'm hopefully I am someone who he can say, go and do this, and I'll just go do it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Doesn't matter any of that stuff. The inside of you, God, is the Holy Spirit. Know Him. Follow Him. Let Him talk to you. Let Him in. And He's called the Helper. That word in the Greek is parakletos, and it also means the encourager. He'll encourage you. There is nobody. I've known people that were encouraging. I've had friends that, there was a man, and we actually had him in this church to preach. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. His name was David Newberry. And David Newberry was an evangelist, and I mean a true evangelist. Saw miracle on miracle on miracle. He saw people raised from the dead, arms grow out. I mean, he saw things happen. He was run over by a truck and instantly healed. I mean, he had things happen. But this man was one of the most encouraging people I ever met. I would call him and he'd begin telling me stories about what was going on in his life. He was so encouraging. He doesn't hold a candle to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything about me. And He will speak specifically to me. The great thing about Him is He'll be as tough as He has to be, but as gentle as He can. And He knows how to do that. I'm encouraging you, get to know the Holy Spirit. Get into the Word of God. You're going to find out that you're going to learn to operate with Him. It's going to tell you a whole lot about Him. And He will show you so much about yourself and so much about the life that He has for you. And it's good. All right. Well, I'm not going to keep us much longer. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. Father God, You're so good. Jesus, our Savior. What You went through, we can't even fully grasp. You died for us. But You rose from the dead for us. And You are forever the victor. And Holy Spirit, oh, the intimate God who dwells in me. Holy One, I am so grateful. You've been so kind and so precious to me. And I love You so much, Holy One. I want You every day, every second, to be with me, to guide me. I never want to be without You. And I won't be. But I want You to have the opportunity to impact and influence in my life. And so I welcome You on the inside of me into every room, every place, to the areas where I've been hurt, where maybe I've shut them off. Strengthen me to welcome You in. These people, Holy Spirit, manifest Yourself mightily to them, that they may know You more. Guide us, direct us. Holy Spirit, You have destinations for us to get to. Places for us to go, things for us to do. And it's not always about us doing something for God. Sometimes You want us to be at the right place because You've got something for us there. And so set the destinations on the inside of us. Lead us, guide us. Direct us, encourage us, strengthen us, empower us, teach us, reveal Jesus to us more and more. And Holy Spirit, we thank You. And now, my God in three persons, I love You and I thank You for going with us this day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.